We're talking about the history, the politics, the culture of air conditioning here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being with us. An analyst from J.P. Morgan said this week that air conditioning makers are in a golden era. Demand for new and replacement AC units has been strong since the financial crisis a decade ago. And there are other reasons to be bullish for those analysts as many developing countries start plugging into AC. Do you live without air conditioning either at home or at work? How do you manage? What strategies do you take to stay cool on weeks like this? Do you think the air is too cool at your work or public places? And have you heard or been part of the office temperature debate? We're at 800-642-1234. Penelope Green is a feature writer in the style department of the New York Times. Her recent piece is called "Do Americans Need Air Conditioning?" Penelope, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So you looked over 100 years ago to the beginning of this technology. Why do we have air conditioning?
Well, we have air conditioning because a junior engineer at a printing plant in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, figured out a way to blow air over water and reduce the humidity in this printing plant that was gumming up the pages of a humor magazine that was being printed. For millennia, there have been some sort of cooling, mechanical or otherwise, and this really revolutionized it and made it possible to do it more efficiently and put it out there.
And when did we see air conditioning take off? How did it rise in popularity?
Well, they refined the systems and refined the systems. And by the 30s in the White House, there was central air conditioning. And by mid-century in this country, at least, electricity was cheap enough and the technology was good enough that it was in most homes. And, you know, we know it changed manufacturing and it allowed huge areas of the country to be developed. Florida, Houston, the Sun Belt, Singapore, globally, it's called the air conditioned nation. I can give you some fun facts about air conditioning in the White House if you're interested.
Yeah, something about President Nixon.
Well, it was President Nixon loved it, loved the air conditioning to be turned down so low that he could turn on the fire, have a fire in the summer. And Lyndon Johnson similarly liked it so low he wanted to sleep with an electric blanket over him in the summer.
You also write that without air conditioning, we'd have no internet because server farms get really hot and they depend on air.
Yes, absolutely. There would be many, many, many industries that would not exist or be possible without air conditioning.
And almost 90% of American homes have air conditioning. Is there any evidence that all this temperature regulation is altering our behaviors or our lifestyles?
Well, I mean, there have been surveys, global surveys done that have shown that those who are in sort of less developed countries have a greater comfort with temperature variability, but I think that, you know, on balance, it's altered our lifestyle for the good. I don't think anybody suggests that we should do away with air conditioning.
Help us understand building efficiency standards. Why do we have them, and how is air conditioning involved?
Well, many states, including New York, have put laws into place that require that will reduce the carbon emissions of the buildings, which are big producers, polluters. And in New York State, the benchmark is to reduce carbon emissions by 85% by the year 2050. And air conditioning is a factor. It uses a lot of energy. Interestingly enough, it does not use as much energy across the country as heating does. We use 4 times more energy to heat our homes and our workplaces than we do to cool them. But the way air conditioning fits into this, again, it's a big energy load, and buildings will be built to these standards that just make them more efficient with better insulation, green roofs, delivering the energy to cool and to heat the spaces with renewables like solar.
When I think of air conditioning, in my youth, I think of the window unit that was hauled down from the attic, put into the window, and then turned on. How have window units impacted efficiency?
Well, not being an HVAC engineer or any engineer of any kind at all, I can tell you that window units get better, but just on balance, they're less efficient from an energy standpoint than central air.
Penelope Green is a feature writer in the style department of the New York Times, and her recent piece is called Do Americans Need Air Conditioning? It's a question that might get a resounding yes, given this week's temperatures. Are you curious about the invention and expansion of air conditioning? Are you concerned we've become too dependent on AC? Do you try to cut back on using it in your own life? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. You can also email your thoughts on AC to ideas@WPR.org. Penelope, in what ways do we overconsume air conditioning? Where do we go overboard?
Well, I think that, again, not being an energy expert, I think that in terms of the experience of people in offices, office workers, many of whom are women, will complain that the AC is just too darn high, and they're freezing in their offices. So I think that that's where the debate comes in, at least in New York City. There's lots of back and forth about the space being engineered or cooled to the thermal comfort of men in suits. And there can be charges every summer that, you know, it's a sexist, gendered temperature. And there's lots of debate on Twitter about that.
Is there merit to that claim that temperatures are adjusted for male employees?
There really isn't. I mean, not in my, you know, very cursory reporting. Our building on 41st Street is cool to what are known as just an industry standard of 76 degrees. And the building is built with the AC in its floors, and we have ductwork or fans rather at every single desk, and employees are able to sort of open that vent or close that vent in an effort to kind of customize their space. And again, in a sort of anecdotal survey of buildings around the city, most buildings are set to that temperature. The standard by an organization called ASHRAE really asks that building facilities directors alter the temperature of the building or make the temperature of the building something that's comfortable for 80% of the occupants. And that means that 20% of staffers are going to be uncomfortable or miserable.
Yeah.
Too cold or too hot.
And your piece kind of reignited this debate about air conditioning, especially on social media. What was the internet response to your article? What did people say?
Well, my Twitter feed lit up with a lot of women tweeting that they were freezing in their offices, and it lit up with a lot of men being enraged that anybody suggests that office temperatures were too high or too low. Mm-hmm. It was quite funny.
Let's go to Owen now and Weawega. Hi, Owen.
Yeah, hello. I had to shut off the radio there, and I think AC makes us lazy. I'm on the farm, and I actually wear long sleeve shirts all summer long. Not so much for UV protection, but just because I actually find that kind of air conditions me, because I get covered in perspiration, and the cotton shirts kind of keep the moisture around your body so it doesn't evaporate so quickly, and that actually keeps me cooler. But my wife, Lisa, she sleeps in the room with the AC and the window unit, and I sleep in the living room because I find if I sleep in the AC, when I wake up, we get up at 3, we're outside by a little after 3, I even find it's 10 times hotter if I spend the night in that AC room.
Oh, because your body temperature is adjusted to the room that is air conditioned.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, even when I'm in my truck, I do the same thing. I'll turn the AC on sometimes just to so I can see out the windshield because it has an air dryer. You know, your AC actually dries the air and takes some of the moisture out of the air, which helps when you need to see, but I always roll the windows down at the same time because I don't want to become spoiled and feeling like I'm not climatized to the outside temperature. I grew up with no AC. My father and mother, I'm 40, my father and mother always said that we didn't need AC in Vermont because we only had 3 months out of the year when it wasn't, you know, below 65 degrees anyway. And in the wintertime, we tried so hard to keep it at 62 degrees or you know, in that range. So why would we fight to keep it at a different temperature and spend more money on energy during the summer?
Owen, thank you so much for describing your story. Penelope, you know, Owen's saying, look, air conditioning makes people kind of lazy.
Well, I think that, you know, many would agree with him, and there are studies that have been done, again, that show we, you know, we're so adaptable as humans, and we get used to certain things. That said, I think that nobody would want a manufacturing plant or an assembly line to not be air-conditioned, but certainly in one's home, you can, you know, you can make yourself. You know, I'm a Northeasterner, and you know, we do try and keep our thermostats low in the winter for energy reasons, and you can get used to temperature swings if you really work on it.
Penelope Green is with us. She is a feature writer at the New York Times, and she's been writing about air conditioning. Are you concerned we've become too dependent on it? Are you concerned about the energy use and the climate change impact of all this air conditioning? Do you try to minimize your AC for that reason? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. When the summer heat wave arrives, so does this long-standing debate over the thermostat. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Should the air be cranked up? Should there be throw blankets around the office? The U.S. and China account for over half of the world's air conditioners. According to the International Energy Agency, the number of AC units installed globally is set to jump from about 1.6 billion today to 5.6 billion in about 3 decades from now. Do you live without air conditioning either at home or work? How do you manage? What strategies do you take to stay cool on weeks like this? Are you concerned our world is becoming too dependent on AC? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. And Penelope Green stays with us. She is a feature writer at the New York Times. Penelope, through your reporting, you interviewed an architecture firm that in 2015 designed its workspace without the convenience of air conditioning. What did you find there?
Oh, this was a wonderful, wonderful experiment. The company is called Kieran Timberlake, and they have 100 employees, and they are a design-forward company trying to sort of figure out how to minimize their impact and the impact of their work from an energy standpoint. And they renovated a former bottling plant, which was made of concrete and steel.
In Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia. And it was built at mid-century. And they decided to do this renovation with, you know, the lowest sort of energy impact possible. And they designed the place with passive house technologies. And those are sort of principles. It's a German standard. The idea is to maintain a steady interior climate by making the building envelope pre-airtight and install a system, you know, mostly fans and things like that, to exchange the indoor and the outdoor air. And passive house principles usually mean that you could reduce your energy impact by about 60 to 80%. So they put in mechanical ventilation, that means fans, natural ventilation, that means windows that open, automatic shades to shade the building during the, you know, from the hot sun, it was very, very well insulated, thick concrete slab floor, and dehumidifiers. And the idea is to you know, basically regulate the temperature the way buildings have regulated temperature for thousands of years, like a Roman villa, you know, shading the place against the hot summer sun during the day and then opening up at night to flush out the hot air. And it was complicated. The first summer they opened, the staffers were miserable, and they were surveyed sort of at all points during the day, and basically, you know, and they tried all sorts of things. They tried, you know, working early in the morning when the heat wasn't that great, changing the dress code. People could come to work in shorts.
The employees said they were melting.
They were melting. They really were. And they brought in, you know, fans for the desks and more floor fans. And finally, they just realized that, you know, too many of their staffers were miserable. So they switched to what's known as a mixed mode operation. They brought in conventional air conditioning, but used it sparingly. And that's how the place runs now. And it's a good model for other buildings.
What should we take away from this experience? What did work?
Well, there are two things to take away. One is just the climate in Philadelphia, and maybe that building in particular. Passive house technology without conventional cooling, I mean, most passive house building has some kind of cooling in it, but passive house, it works best in places with big diurnal temperature swings like the desert. You could probably do it in the desert where it gets quite cold at night without any conventional cooling at all. But in most places, you do need some air conditioning system. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is they developed a survey technique, a cloud-based app called Roast, and they just, you know, they surveyed their employees constantly, and it helped them refine.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at the name of that app. I mean,
I know it's great.
Oh dear. So they really had to keep an eye on their employees because they don't want their employees to leave them over the temperature. I mean, for goodness sake.
Exactly. And here's another really important thing about that experiment. 41% of Karen Timberlake's employees at the time were female. And so one wondered and one asked, you know, were the respondents who were most miserable men? And in fact, it was not the case that there was a gendered response to the heat. Everybody was pretty miserable. They did learn, however, that more women responded to the survey questions than men.
Let's take another call now. Larry is joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Larry.
Hi there. First of all, I was raised on a farm in central Wisconsin, no air conditioning. You'd work out in the field all day, and you'd sleep at night and sweating. But anyway, every factory that I worked in except for one didn't have air conditioning in it. I don't know where she's getting this that factories have air conditioning in it. I worked in a tractor manufacturer. I worked in an outboard manufacturer in different various job shops, and only one of those had air conditioning in it. So I don't know where you're getting this that most factories have air conditioning in them nowadays.
What does the factories you've been in and worked in, Larry, what do they feel like in the summer?
Well, they're hot, but I mean, it's the same thing as in a few degrees warmer than what it is outside, but you struggle through the day. I mean, I guess it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You either want the job or you don't, and, you know, that's just my thought. I mean, it, like I said, on the farm, nowadays, yes, the tractors have air conditioning, but back in the old days, you wanted to stay cool, you put a fan umbrella over the seat, and you at least got shaded. I mean, it is what it is. I think, like the other farmer said, we've gotten soft.
Larry, thanks so much for the call. Penelope, I mean, if you want the work in the factory, you go to the work, regardless of the temperature.
It is the case that fans which electric fans came into play in a widespread way at the same time that our friend in Williamsburg invented what would become the conventional air conditioner. Fans have altered manufacturing as well, and it also may be the case that there are regional differences that companies and industries further south may have to deploy air conditioning, and in places like yours, where the temperatures aren't quite so brutal, it might be possible to live without it.
Well, let's fit in one more call here. Justin in Madison. Hi, Justin. Nope, Justin is not there. Penelope, climate change is only going to make our world warmer. What can we expect for the future of air conditioning?
I just think that it will get more efficient and buildings will get more efficient. Certainly in this country, many, many states have enacted similar laws to the ones that we have here in New York City and in New York State to curtail the carbon emissions of new buildings and retrofit older ones, commercial spaces, that is. So I think there's a lot of hope in ingenuity.
Although at the same time, around the world, countries are, basically plugging into air conditioning, China being the other biggest user of air conditioners. How do we see other places around the world changing their perspective on air conditioning?
Well, I think that as countries grow richer and they can afford it, they're going to clamor for it. You noted some statistics about that. We can only hope that climate change agreements like the Paris Accord will be taken up by developing nations and they'll do the right thing.
Penelope, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Penelope Green is a feature writer in the Style Department of the New York Times. Her recent piece is called Do Americans Need Air Conditioning? And we have a link to it on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.